Jenny, it's so exciting to talk to you because we can finally talk about this book and share it with people. Jenny Mazels, the talented illustrator and creator of such wonderful pop-up books as Pop-Up Wonderful World and Pop-Up London and Pop-Up New York, has decided to create Pop-Up Shakespeare.
Oh, so exciting. Thank you.
Thank you for letting us tag along.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whatever it is, wherever you are. Thanks for subscribing, streaming, or downloading and listening to us on your computer or tablet or phone. I'm Austin Titchener, one third of the Reduced Shakespeare Company, and you're listening to this week's Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast, number 541, Pop-Up Shakespeare Book. We are so thrilled to finally announce the publication of Pop-Up Shakespeare, a beautifully illustrated pop-up book created and drawn by the lovely and insanely talented Jenny Mazels, and with funny and scholarly text by the equally lovely Reed Martin and me. The book will be published in the UK, the US, and Australia this September of 2017. But since today is Shakespeare's birthday, we wanted to share this information with you now. So I Skyped with Jenny to talk about her work and her art and how she came to invite us to participate in the creation of this really incredibly beautiful and fun book.
I can't believe you said yes when I sent that slightly crazy tweet saying I wasn't a weirdo and I had an idea.
Well, it's funny when you said, so out of the blue, you know, people talk about, oh, well, I don't get Twitter. Now, I'll tell you one value of Twitter is that you, am I right? You had this idea for doing a pop-up Shakespeare book, and then, like, what was the timeline of that?
I was driving in my car. I remember it really clearly. Mm-hmm. And I was thinking, I'd finished Pop-Up New York, and I was thinking, I loved that book. I loved that it was slightly crossover, that it wasn't a little children's book, that it was for children and adults were enjoying it too. And I was driving along and I was literally thinking, what can I do next? Uh-huh. You know, a little on my own brainstorm behind the wheel and thinking, well, what do I love about them? I love that they're theatrical, that pop-up books are theatrical. And it just came in a flash. Have anyone done the complete works of Shakespeare in a pop-up book? I don't think they have. So I scurried back and did a bit of research. Now, as you know, I've been a lifelong fan of yours and the Reduced Shakespeare Company. My first date with my husband was coming to your show in London. So I know your work very well, and I know how clever you are and how funny. And that was, I think, paramount. It has to be really funny, not just, oh, that's mildly amusing. You know, I want people to really properly kind of have a really good laugh. And so that was the kind of start of the concept. And then I literally went home and tweeted you and said, I'm not a weirdo. I've got a really good idea. And I think because of the time difference, by the time you had tweeted back saying, sure, here's my email, I'd written the concept. So not that fast a typer. Really, because I think you're probably thinking, oh my goodness, she's a fast writer, because I just pinged it back to you. And then I think we were like Skyping a few days later about it. But as you say, people don't get Twitter. That's the power of
that. Well, that is the power of Twitter, because on my end, the timeline was, I'm sitting at my desk and the alert comes up that says, oh, you have a tweet. What is it? Oh, Jenny Mazels wants to send me an email. She's not a weirdo. And I went, Jenny Mazels, that sounds familiar. Google, oh my God, I have four of your books. And my wife and I have given Pop-Up London as housewarming gifts to the various people who have couches that we have slept on across Great Britain. So I was like, oh my God, yes, I know exactly who you are. So, and our kids learned about geography and sort of the universe through the Wonderful World book. So I knew exactly who you were. And so then I pinged you back, like, I think within 10 minutes, and then immediately that email came. So within about 10 or 15 minutes, we had decided, yeah, let's do this book together. Oh my God, that was huge.
Amazing. I mean, think about how it would have been in the old days. I would have had to write a letter to your agent. It might not have got to you for months, or it could not have ever been opened. Or, I mean, this is how fantastic global communication is. It's fun. I love it. I love it. I love social media for this sort of work. It's brilliant.
Well, and it also helps that you are an established author with established relationships. And illustrator with established relationships with publishers. So Reed and I weren't signing on to just, you know, some chimp out in the field. You know, you kind of know what you're doing.
That's very flattering. I'll never really feel like I know what I'm doing, but thank you.
Well, and I'm glad you never said to me beforehand, it's got to be really funny, not just mildly amusing. Because I would have gone, oh no, holy crap. I'm not ready for that kind of pressure.
It's fine. It is, I promise you, really funny. I mean, I have the book in front of me. I've shown it to lots of people, and you know, you can see their shoulders shaking. It's properly funny. So you did a good job.
Right. Well, and I love too what you say. What you said about kids learning through play. And enjoying and sort of learning by accident. They're enjoying something and then they go, oh wait, now I know something. And I totally agree with that. But my fear with pop-up books is always, oh, don't let the kids touch it. They'll ruin it. Is that the wrong way to think?
Pretty robust. And what I find really interesting is when I show a book to an adult, they're incredibly delicate and nervous, and am I allowed to? Oh, should I turn this? Can I do this? And then you show it to a child, and they just go for it, and they play with it, and they pull it, and they twist it, and I think they are pretty robust. The paper's strong, unless you have very complicated mechanisms with circles and tabs attached that can kind of come off. You know, we've learned through the years what not to do and what to do. And they seem to last. They seem to be pretty robust. Shakespeare book certainly is. It's had I've got one like you, just one copy because it's a dummy. Right. It has been really played with by everybody, and it's in good shape. So I think with practice, you know which mechanisms not to use because they're a little bit fragile.
Right, and I have noticed that I think it's the final the tragedies page that takes it. I have to be slightly careful folding it back, closing the book a little together because I'm worried. I'm always worried that the King Lear arches are going to smash into the Hamlet castle in an unfair way.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to see a child do it, and maybe that will make you feel less nervous if you have a child like slam the book shut completely carelessly, and then maybe you'll be less nervous.
It's like when we take selfies with people after our shows, and people can't figure out their cameras and their phones. I'm going, is there a 5-year-old that can show us how to do this, please? So you have the book in your hand. I mean, we each have our own copies of the book in our hand, and it's coming out in September. It was your idea. It was your vision. Is it what you thought it would be?
Do you know, that's really interesting. When I was at art school, I was given a brief, and then I would have this really, really strong vision in my head as to what the finished piece would be. And I would just work and work to create it so that it was faithful to that vision. And then I would do retrospectively all the pretend journey to that piece. So I'd completely cheat so that I wouldn't get told off. So I've always worked like that. I've never had a kind of a sort of academic approach to my work, and I don't have a sort of journey to the final piece of artwork. I just have a very clear image of what it should look like, and I just do everything I can to get that image as I saw it in my mind's eye. And happily, this is exactly what I saw in my mind's eye. It's exactly how I saw it, and that's sort of how I work. I'm a very simple soul. I don't have this sort of whole analytical approach to the illustration. It's just like I see this picture in my head, and then I work till I get it how I envisaged it. So it.
But in a collaborative, I mean, what was fun for us about this, and you said pop-up books are theatrical, and of course we're theatrical, and so that was really fun for us, is to figure out the theatrical storytelling of a pop-up book. But like theater, I mean, this sort of pop-up book is collaborative, and so you're working not only with me and Reed, but you're working with editors, and you're working with budgets etc. There are limitations, and yet within all those, well, limitations, I guess, I guess we signed on to your vision. I think that's what it was.
Well, I think you have probably throughout a pop-up book, you might have two visions. One might be the dream where you have no budget restrictions and you can use 50 reams of paper and glue tabs and elastic and flashing lights and, you know, music. And then it comes to a reality crunch time, and then maybe you kind of think, right, okay, I can't have a music change every time you turn the page.
Right.
And then maybe a more sensible vision, because I'm a complete fantasist anyway. So, you know, obviously I wanted real actors in the book. but this is what I imagined. And then maybe when the very, very start, I probably had a ridiculous, mad idea of how it might look, involving, you know, it would have to be £100 to buy. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right. Well, that's the thing. The price point. That was a term that we came to know. Price point.
I'm Peter Holland. I'm the McNeil Family Professor in Shakespeare Studies at the University of Notre Dame, and you're listening to the Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast.
Where can you RSC the RSE? This week you can see us perform William Shakespeare's long-lost first play abridged in both the US and the UK. The RSC UK performs this week in Leeds, Torquay, Hartford, Bedford, Oxford, Stroud, Thornbury, Milton Keynes, Stoke-on-Trent, Porthcawl, Worcester, York, Eastbourne, Woking, Derby, Folkestone, and Bromley. That's obviously not all this week. That's from this week until the end of May. But in the U.S., this week we'll perform William Shakespeare's long-lost first play abridged for one night only, this Friday night in Waukegan, Illinois, then next week in Flint, Michigan, then in 2 weeks in Santa Fe, New Mexico, and then for 3 nights at the end of May at the Virginia Arts Festival in Norfolk, Virginia. As always, the very best way to stay up to date about all of our worldwide performance dates is to sign up for the Reduced Reader, our email newsletter. Go to reducedshakespeare.com and click on the link to subscribe, and check out our touring page for specific box office, venue, and ticket information. And now back to my conversation with Jenny Mazels, the creator and illustrator of Pop-Up Shakespeare.
Do you remember the process of how we organized the book? Because right now it's five panels. There are five panels. The first dedicated to basically his life and where he lived, which is Stratford in London. Then a spread of the comedies, a spread of the histories, a spread of the romances, which I remember we talked about a lot. And then finally the big show piece, the spread of the tragedies. And am I right in remembering that we thought there might be six spreads to begin with?
I think we're thinking at one point of having two comedies, weren't we? And I think you had this lovely idea that we should have one spread called the comedies and another spread called the comedies ?
Yes.
really funny.
Really not.
Which is lovely, but sadly budget restrictions. But actually, I think it works all in one because it is just one category, so it's fine. But you're absolutely right. We did have six spreads originally when I was having my fantasy moment.
Well, and I think we were going to dedicate an entire spread to the sonnets and the poems.
That's true as well. If we had a bigger budget, then I don't think we're both probably quite similar. We could have just gone and gone and gone because so much. I think this is why we have editors, and we're very lucky. We have fantastic editors who sort of reined us in a bit.
Well, and I was lucky enough back in January to visit Walker Books. The book is being published by Walker Books in Britain and by Candlewick Press in the United States. So that's very exciting just by itself that it's being published in both countries simultaneously. But I visited Walker in January and got to see the team and walk around the plant and have a podcast chat with our editor Daisy Jellicoe, and I'll be releasing that as a podcast probably in a week or two.
Daisy is brilliant. She's really enjoyable to work with. She's also annoyingly always right.
Yes.
So you know, you sort of just say, "Oh, I wonder, do you?" I just think maybe, and in your head you're thinking, well, no, and then you sort of say, oh, God, yes, you're right. Yeah, you're absolutely right.
Yeah.
but she's very diplomatic.
Well, and it's like, you know, all of it is a collaboration, right? So there's give and take, and there have been some things that Reed and I have fought for and won, and a couple of things that Reed and I have fought for and not won. But, you know, as I always say about me and Reed, it's like, you know, this sort of artistic collaboration is like a marriage without the sex. Well, except for that once with me and Reed. So there's a lot of give and take. And you're right. It's like, wow, how did we happen to come across an editor who was so well-versed in Shakespeare? But I assume now, as British children, you are weaned on Shakespeare, right? I mean,
no, I'm not particularly. I think she was carefully chosen to be our editor, I think. There are other editors, but Denise Johnston-Burt, who's just absolutely fantastic, she kind of heads up the sort of most of Walker books, especially the novelty books. And I suspect she was carefully chosen for us because her knowledge is absolutely amazing. And I think she's probably most people's favourite editor. She's just brilliant. She's so charming, and yeah. she looks like a sort of princess as well, doesn't she?
You mean in the sense that she's tiny and can fit on the top of a cake? Yes.
Exactly. No, she's not tiny. She just has this incredibly pretty face that you kind of get slightly lost in when you're trying meetings. She's adorable.
Yes, okay, I'll rewrite that, Your Highness. But to that question of Shakespeare, did you grow up having a love of Shakespeare, or what was your early experience with Shakespeare?
Well, I think I was taken to the theatre a lot by my amazing grandmother, who was a poet and a pianist and really extraordinary. So we used to go a lot to Regent's Park open air theatre. So I have really strong memories of going with her. And then at school, I guess we did. It was a big part of my education, but I was a bit naughty at school because I just wanted to draw. So I don't think I listened very hard. So my knowledge is pretty ropey. I was a really easily distracted child who would, you know, be doodling on her copy of Coriolanus rather than reading it. So, which is why you were much needed to write this book, and why I didn't for a second consider writing it myself.
Well, and yet it's not just pop-up books. I mean, you've made a great career out of doodling and drawing, haven't you? What is the extent of what you do? The pop-up books, you teach?
I'm not really happy unless I'm sharing something. So I'm one of those kind of people that if you're looking at a sunset, I'm a bit agitated unless I can say to someone, look at the sunset, look at the sunset. I just have to share, which is why I'm such an Instagram addict, because you have this lovely tool of saying, look at the sunset. Oh, now I've shown everyone, oh, I can relax.
Oh, wow.
I have this real desire to share. So the joy that I get from drawing, I think I just sort of thought, do you know, anyone could do this. You know, it's just so lovely. And yet, out of all the creative things that we do, we cook, we knit, we sew, we play music, we've stopped drawing. People don't draw. They did when they were children, and now they don't. And I started something called the Sketchbook Club a couple of years ago, and it's now one of the, apart from pop-up books, it's now the other thing, the big thing I do. And it's just basically getting people to draw using kind of like recipes, as if you were cooking. So I'm giving people very clear instructions and a method, and here's a picture of the, you know, the cake almost. and that's kind of, it's the only thing that creatively that we don't use that sort of help with. We, you know, you don't sit down at the piano without music. I cooked all my life, but I couldn't cook a cake without a recipe. Right. So that's the concept behind it. So there's an online course, and I'm just about to launch a YouTube channel in September. And then I have lovely workshops where people come to my studio in rural Hampshire here in England, and, you know, maybe stay in a hotel and have a nice time. And it's lovely. It's because it just appeals to my, you know, hey, everyone, do this.
That's great. Well, and it's infectious and it's contagious. You've got a big September then. You've got Pop-Up Shakespeare coming out, and your YouTube channel is launching.
But yeah, I know. But it's my favourite month because it's my birthday in September, so it's good. It's a good month. September's my favourite. Always, been, and it's just about to become autumn, and it's I love it. And in England, we always seem to have really lovely weather in September. Rubbish summers, but really lovely, really lovely weather in September.
So the best thing we can do for your birthday is to go out and buy massive quantities of pop-up Shakespeare available in your local bookshop. Both in the US and the UK.
Yes, please. That'd be wonderful.
I also and I'm also flattered by the fact that you and your husband had your first date seeing our show. This should go on our poster. The Reduced Shakespeare Company will get you lucky.
Yeah, that was the only reason I married him, because he took me there on my first date. Yeah, there was no other. No, it was a fun evening. I remember we just laughed so much. I mean, our tummies hurt. It was just fantastic, wonderful show. Just, yeah, and in fact, since then, I've taken my daughter, who I think at the time was 10, and she laughed till she cried and didn't laugh at the bits that were so rude that were over her head. That was what was so fantastic, is that you had a kind of parent, dying with laughter, and then a child dying with laughter. It's completely for everybody. It's just, I love it. I want to go again very soon.
That's it for this week's Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast. Pop-Up Shakespeare by Jenny Maisels and me and Reed Martin will be published first in Australia on September 1st, lucky Australians, by Walker Books Australia, then in the UK this September 7th by Walker Books, and finally here in the US, bringing up the rear on October 3rd by Candlewick Press. It'll be available, I assume, in your local bookshops, at Amazon or other online sources, and hopefully in your favorite Shakespeare theater gift shop. Reed and I have posted video of the book on our website, reducedshakespeare.com, and you can also see more great images and videos of the book and also of her other fabulous artwork by following Jenny Maisels on Instagram. That's Jenny with an I-E and Maisels, M-A-I-Z-E-L-S, all one word, Jenny Maisels on Instagram and Twitter. Send us your Shakespeare illustrations via email to feedback@reducedshakespeare.com. You can also engage with us and other fans on Facebook or Twitter. You can find easy links to all these social networks at our website, reducedshakespeare.com. You can also follow me on Twitter at Austin Titchener, and you can follow Reed on Twitter at Reed of RSC. Actually, the RSC is now on Instagram too, at Reduced Shakespeare Company. But we're still figuring out how that goes, so bear with us. Like, do you say at Reduced Shakespeare Company? Actually, send your Instagram tips to feedback@reducedshakespeare.com. Thanks, as always, to illustrated bard Matthew Croak, web services by Ginger Power Limited, music by John Weber and GarageBand. Our random fan shout-out this week goes to Vicky Gale. No reason, it's just random. Special thanks to our old friend Peter Holland, the McNeil Family Professor of Shakespeare at Notre Dame University, and, as it happens, the newly appointed chair of the International Shakespeare Association, based in Stratford-upon-Avon. And finally, thanks very much to you for listening. I'm Austin Titchener, 541 1623rds of the Reduced Shakespeare Company.
Look how cool this looks.
I know. Look, I have one too. Oh, no. So thrilling to see it here in front of us and able to play with it and turn the pages and play with the pops. And it's great. I love it. Thank you.
Oh, are you kidding? Thank you.
This podcast is a production of the Reduced Shakespeare Company, reducing expectations since 1981. Go to reducedshakespeare.com for performance dates, actor bios, email newsletters, and so much less.
So much less.
Happy birthday!